Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Our dispatch received reports of gunshots fired at the park. Upon arrival, law enforcement found a male victim, later identified as 25-year-old Mr. Jackson, deceased from multiple gunshot wounds, laying in the area near the gazebo.
Milton Police Chief Jen Frank doing a brief press conference yesterday dealing with the body that was found, the person who was killed at the park in Milton, Lucille Johnson Park, if you're familiar with it. It's just just a normal park where people play basketball and all that kind of stuff.
Through witness testimony, including photographs taken by witnesses and secured from local surveillance footage, we identified three males who were involved in that incident, all of whom fled the scene shortly after the shooting occurred.
Yeah, sounds like people and cameras, if there's something happening, people are taking photos of it.
With the assistance of the sheriff's canine unit, a track was initiated, and within a very short time, officers were able to locate the individuals hiding in the water in a nearby swampy area adjacent to Pine Street in Milton. Two firearms were recovered near those individuals. Both of those firearms were semi-automatic handguns.
They ran into the swamp, they threw their weapons. Milton called the canines from Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office, and that was the end of that running.
Following interviews with the suspects, it was determined that the involved individuals were familiar with each other and with the victim prior to the shooting. Based on the evidence, including witness statements, physical evidence, and suspect interviews, Mr. Jaden Jamarco Wright was arrested and charged with murder, dangerous and depraved, in violation of Florida State Statute 782.042 for the killing of Mr. Jackson.
Yeah, and it sounds like everybody involved in this had kind of come back to town a little bit, including the victim and these other people who didn't live here anymore, but they all knew each other. And, they arranged to get together to deal with whatever. We don't really know at this point. But she says, once they got together and these guys showing up with guns and masks, sounds like there was pretty serious motive there. And so they decided to solve their problems the wrong way.
Well, we understand that this incident has justifiably shaken our community. I want to be clear. This situation is under control. And within 1 hour of that shooting, those suspects were in police custody. They were detained. And the individual responsible for this senseless violence was secured and being charged with the murder of Mr. Jackson.
Yeah, an hour is pretty fast work for a homicide, right?
We are still investigating the motive. We are working through a series of information to try to determine what led up to this incident. But we know that it was not random. There was an intentional meeting by those individuals.
Yeah, they definitely knew each other. It was definitely intentional. The motive, they're still not exactly clear.
We understand the concerns of the community, especially when it comes to safety and well-being, and especially of our children. That is our top priority. We want to reassure folks that we have been doing active patrols in this region. We are addressing every possible safety initiative out there. This is an incredibly safe community where sometimes we have individuals who come back to our community to do harm. We want to make it clear, if you come here to do harm, you will be held accountable.
Tanner Stewart from WAR asks if it's gang activity or gang related.
Chief, you mentioned this is an isolated incident. Is there a problem with things like gang activity in the city of Milton or drugs, or are there any particular issues that you feel are on the rise here?
We have no indication that this incident had any gang related affiliation at all.
In fact,
we do not have any incident or any indication that we've seen gang affiliated activity here. This is an incident where there were individuals who knew each other. They addressed some problems that they were working through in a very unhealthy way. And we're going to make it clear that violence is not going to be the answer moving forward. But nothing in this case in any way, shape, or form indicates any gang violence.
Yeah, she's ruling out gang violence. It's, I don't want to read into a negative. She did not say that there was no drug involvement at all. The dad who was standing there with her said that, he's not a gangbanger. And I have no idea whether there was any kind of things besides, you know, any kind of drugs or anything like that. It may, absolutely may not have been. I just know that she specifically said not gang related, which, you know, that leaves other motives, and it could have been completely unrelated to anything illegal. I mean, it could have just been two people who were trying to resolve a disagreement about something, or a girl, or money, or, you know, whatever. I mean, people, the dumbest things lead to people getting into violence with each other.
Suspects fled the scene, and I think there is an important notation there that prior to that, we were able to obtain both video images and still images that showed those suspects in the clothing that they were later apprehended in, that they were wearing masks that were partially obscuring their face.
And I'll tell you, the one thing that I don't know about this case, because she didn't address it specifically, was I don't know why the other two people were not charged, or if they were not charged, if they were arrested, and what, you know what I mean? I don't know why just the one, because if there were two people with him, if there were also multiple firearms, you know, people wearing masks, even if they did not shoot, even if they did not draw, you know, the felony murder rule means that if one person creates a murder and the other people go with them, then that is, you know, that accomplicing essentially puts them in the same level of jeopardy as the murderer himself or the homicide perpetrator himself. I did think, you know, one of the things that I have not seen, I don't know, ever. It was interesting. I don't think in Escambia or PPD, I don't think I've ever seen it quite done this way. She had the victim's dad up there with her. That's the one who kind of muttered into the microphone about how he wasn't a gangbanger. And he talked about his son and his son being a musician, an artist, somebody who served the community. And then his aunt was there as well. She spoke at some length about, you know, having lost Trayvon Jackson.
I'm Trayvon's aunt, and I just wanted to say that we love Trayvon, and like my brother said, he was a wholesome young man. He gave out food to the community, chili and chili dogs. I didn't think nobody would want, but he made sure that he made an impact on the community. He came here to be different, and he was. And we want people to know that he was loved, that he was not just an individual on his own. If you look in this room, this is just not even a portion of our family that loved and support him, the community, his dad. And I want to thank the police department for their work, because they were awfully kind to us on last night and making us feel comfortable and carrying out their job. And like Chief said, this is a whole different police department, and we appreciate that. We thank you for all that you're doing, but we want you guys to know that he was a good guy. He really was. He was a father. He has two children. He was a son. He was a nephew. He was a cousin. He was that. And we love him. And while we don't want to hate anyone or hold any animosity, we are so glad that justice is being served. But just know, we thank you guys for all your support. But Trayvon was loved. Jackson Strong, he was loved.
You know, when you have a civilian at the press conference and you give them the microphone, of course, you never know what's going to happen. But at the same time, it's I kind of like it. I mean, it may seem like a weird thing to say, but I think it shifts the focus from the perpetrator to the victim. And it reminds us and makes us think about the idea that this person was a person. And this person had a family. This person had a life. And so much of the time when we focus on crimes, we focus on the criminal. And as you well know, the people who create the crimes, they get all kinds of press, you know, and fame. And people often know who they are and then don't know the names of the people that they harmed, which always seems a bit wrong. You know, you're giving recognition to the people who do evil, and you're failing, except in a formality sort of way, to give recognition to the people who were the victims of evil. And so, I think this is a very interesting approach. I don't know that it would work under all circumstances. And, you know, I'm always hesitant to draw a conclusion like this, but Jen Frank has shown so far to be a fantastic police chief. I mean, she's, you know, I mean, I love Tommy Tindall, but, you know, but he never did press conferences like this. She's done, I don't know, a dozen. It seems like there's all the time she's doing it. And not big ones, not weekly, but just when there's some event that needs to be addressed, she gets right in front of the cameras and talks about it, which is good. And, most of the people in law enforcement are men. Most of the leadership in law enforcement are men. We happen to have a situation right now where the chief of Pensacola Police, Christian Brown, is a woman, and obviously Jen Frank is a woman. There's a part of me that wonders, is it because she's a woman that it gave her the idea that maybe the victim's, you know, family should be a part of this press conference instead of always folk. I mean, I don't know that that's the reason, but you could kind of see how that might be a sort of sensibility issue that a woman would be more natural to think of than a male law enforcement, you know, normal protocol would. Anyway, just I thought it was good. I appreciate that. It changed the way I think about this incident, and I certainly don't know. Again, we don't know the motive. And I know family is always going to say only good things about somebody, and that's sometimes turns out not to be true. But so far, I don't have any reason to think otherwise in this case. So terrible incident, but very good police work. Both Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office and the Milton Police Department getting this case solved essentially within an hour, which is that's kind of unbelievable. 519 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Yes, we are here today. Yes, we are here tomorrow. Yes, we are here Friday. Every single day except Christmas. If there's a weekday, we're here doing news live, local. That's what we do. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hey, can you blow up some balloons for Jack's party?
I can't. I'm so congested.
You need Sinex Severe from Vicks.
Sinex Severe nasal spray.
Yeah, just Sinex. Breathe.
Sinex Severe instantly relieves nasal congestion and works 6 times faster than nasal decongestant tablets. The 12 hours of relief allow you to get back to the moments that matter without congestion.
Daddy, we need more balloons.
On it.
Try Sinex Severe from Vicks. Just Sinex. Breathe. Use as directed.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from cosmetology and plumbing to nursing and aviation airframe mechanics. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for spring semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. Go here. Get there.
An official message from Medicare.
Medicare plans change from 1 year to the next. And this year, it's important for you to review your current coverage and compare all your options during Medicare open enrollment. Compare health plans, drug coverage, and costs. See if you can save some money, and don't forget to make sure your drugs are covered. Open enrollment ends December 7th. Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This holiday season, whether you're shopping for clients, coworkers, or loved ones, Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze makes gift-giving easy and memorable. From custom apparel and drinkware to unique holiday gifts and decor, you'll find the perfect way to show your appreciation and spread cheer. Make your gifts stand out with personal touches and professional quality, all from your local experts at Prim and Proper. Visit them at 336 Gulf Breeze Parkway or primandproper.com.
News Radio 92.3 gets your live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I don't want to kill you and you don't want to be dead.
Step down and allow Councilwoman Breyer to take charge as being the council president. I think she has done a tremendous job, both her first term as well as now, and I think she will definitely fit the role as a great vice president. And so I think I'm going to step aside and allow her to lead as council vice president.
Delarian Wiggins at the special meeting of the Pensacola City Council yesterday after only one person had been put forward to be the president, which is Allison Patton. She's currently the vice president. Well, she was the vice president. And both Delarian Wiggins and Jennifer Breyer had been put forward to be the vice president. And Delarian Wiggins says, I'm out. I don't want to have to deal with any of this drama. You know, it's totally fine. Jen can be the vice president, no big deal. So then, you know, Jen Breyer also spoke.
Thank you, Councilman Wiggins. And do you have anything to say, Councilman?
Thank you. I would have never run against him. It was one of us was going to step down today. That's the way it was going to be. So I appreciate that. And I'm not sure, but if we do this today, it might be the first time there's ever been a female president and female vice president.
All right. Well, this is one of the history books.
This may be a history making.
Awesome. Glad I was able to help make history.
Okay. So, first of all, you know, two women being the president and the vice president. I think that, I mean, it's the first time since I've lived here, but I haven't lived here all that long, only 11 years. But, you know, I mean, okay, that's kind of interesting. Now, I know DeLaron Wiggins' heart is just joking. He's just making a joke, right? Like, haha, you know, I'm glad I could be a part of this making it happen by bowing out and not running against Jen Brer. But you know what a feminist thinks about that comment? A feminist looks at that and says, oh, you white male privilege patriarchalist, you've got to be a part of this, don't you? See, if it weren't for you dropping out, the woman wouldn't have had her, you know, like that's the way they view everything. And so, yeah, I walked right into that one, unfortunately. But, you know, I don't really think that's what he thinks at all, not even the remotest possible way. Meanwhile, Jared Moore, city council president, formerly.
I did want to make one quick announcement before we adjourn. This is my seventh year. My term will come up next year. I got 1 year left in the term, and I've made a decision that I will not seek re-election at the end of that term.
Yeah, you could hear, I think that was Tenny Day Broughton saying, oh, no, how, no.
My wife has been a fantastic support in choosing to pursue this office. My children have been incredibly supportive. They go through some difficult things. Man, how'd this get emotional? I'm supposed to be the one that doesn't show emotion. They get to go through some unique things, standing in the Publix grocery line or sitting, having breakfast, and all of a sudden, you know, having conversations they didn't want to have. But incredibly grateful to them for the way they've been so supportive of me in this role.
I do have to say a little bit of a what the hell is wrong with you people. You're talking to a man's wife and kids out in public about the things that he does. Talk to the bro, you know, or vice versa. I mean, I wouldn't think that, you know, Jen or Allison's husbands would be the person, or their kids would be the people you talk to. Like, what's wrong with you? But I get it too. You know, it's not a pleasant thing necessarily to be an elected official these days.
But I did want to make that announcement so that District 4 has time to step up and find somebody with the competence and character to make sure this city continues on the great trajectory that it's on. And I wanted to thank all of you for the chance of serving with all of you. Thank you.
Absolutely. And then everybody else basically spent their time explaining how much they're going to miss him. And, you know, Charles Baer, I'm going to miss you unless I'm also not here next year, because if I don't get reelected or if I don't run for reelection at all. And listen, Jared Moore has been a fantastic city council president. I would trust Jared with my money. I would trust him with my kids. You know, there are really good people in office. OK, and he is one of the really good people. So it is a loss. But then again, you know, he's making way for somebody else. You know, he's been two terms and you don't have term limits, but he's bowing out anyway. And I admire him for that. I also admire him for, you know, it might be a family, you know, kind of stuff, or might be he's just tired of it. I don't know. But whatever the reason is, he's not going to be here next year. So somebody can run for District 4. 527 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Well, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, David.
Good morning, David.
Would you like a little more time?
No, I'm good now. I've got it. U.S. Special Envoy will be in Moscow next week to negotiate the Ukraine-Russia peace plan. An advisor for Vladimir Putin has confirmed that President Trump's envoy, Steve Witkoff, will be visiting the Kremlin. Now, this news coming after Ukraine reportedly said that they reached a common understanding with the Trump administration on the outline of a possible peace deal.
So they maybe kind of almost sort of are thinking about possibly getting an engagement ring.
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, that's, I think, the long and short of it there, yeah. The crowds of people protesting the federal raid at a St. Paul, Minnesota home clashed with agents and police on Tuesday. Protesters were sprayed with chemical irritants and smoke canisters were deployed as well. At a press conference on Tuesday, Minneapolis Mayor Melvin Carter confirmed that Homeland Security Investigations and ICE had contacted their police department for assistance. Federal agents apparently took one person into custody during that operation. And spending Thanksgiving with family could be tricky for some folks this year, as parts of the upper Midwest and Northeast are expecting blizzard warnings and whiteout conditions. Forecasters warning of dangerous driving conditions with that. So hopefully that all works out for everybody.
All right. Well, I bet for some it won't.
That might be true.
I would think. And we got weather affecting flights all over the place today. What are these? 400? What's the number I saw? I'm probably making that up. What was the number of flights we got canceled this morning? Anybody know off the top of their head? I was watching on TV this morning, and also I think Fox Top of the Hour mentioned a little bit, but nobody knows for sure. Okay. But, you know, I haven't looked to see locally if our stuff is affected, but it's the time of year, you know. It is when you see weather. 529 on News Radio 92.3. David, thank you so much for the update. Walmart is extending its return policy. You know, a lot of times they have – there's limits on how long when you can return something, and if you buy somebody a gift, you sometimes feel like if they don't want to keep the gift because they want to return it, then there's limits. Well, they're changing all of that, basically. It doesn't matter, you know, kind of generally speaking, my understanding is it doesn't matter when you buy it or what it is, like electronics are shorter than other products, that kind of thing. You basically have until anything that's bought in-store, most items, anything that's bought in-store between October 1st, past, and December 31st, future, are returnable until January 31st. So that's good. That's nice. You know, my wife told me she does sometimes.
Oh, what is that?
I don't think for Walmart, but I think for, like, Amazon. You know how if you don't have Prime, you have to buy so much in order to be able to... She says, well, I'll just add stuff to it, and then I'll return it and get free shipping.
Oh, I never thought about that.
It's genius, though, right?
Yes.
I mean,
free return shipping.
Yeah, I mean, wow. That if that comes in handy for you sometime, now you know. Efficiency expert.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. AAA predicting 82 million people traveling for Thanksgiving, including more than 6 million by air.
We be praying and stuff. Like, we know they're going to make it home.
That woman at Hartsfield-Jackson Airport in Atlanta this morning, even if your flight is on time, there can be hurdles for travelers.
That's why I'm here early, but then Mr. Thing forgot his ID, so now we have to wait on his mother to bring his ID so we can keep it moving through to TSA.
Gas checking in at $3.04 a gallon, 2 cents less from on this day a year ago. Now, President Trump describing the chance at peace between Russia and Ukraine.
We started with Russia. We're having some talks with Russia. Ukraine is doing well. I think they're pretty happy about it. They'd like to see it end.
And the president adding, we're going to get there. The Kremlin saying today it's premature to speak about striking a peace deal in the near future. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92, 365 degrees right now. We've got cloudy skies here in Pensacola today. A 21-year-old man charged with murder in the fatal shooting at Lucille Johnson Park in Milton, Jaden Jamarco Wright, is accused of shooting 31-year-old Tervon Jackson multiple times on Monday. Police say Wright and Jackson knew each other and the shooting was intentional, not random. A canine unit tracked three suspects to a wooded area near Pine Street, and that's where officers say they found those three men hiding in the water. Two semi-automatic handguns were recovered. Wright is currently being held without bond. Police Chief Jennifer Frank said both individuals had previously left Milton but returned to the community. Jackson's father said his son was a father of two who worked to give back to the community. A woman's death in Gulf Breeze being investigated as suspicious. The Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office says a woman was found unresponsive in the area of Santa Rosa Drive and Redwood Lane on Tuesday. Somebody called to report the unresponsive person. When deputies arrived, they confirmed she was dead. Based on the circumstances found at the scene, investigators are treating it as a suspicious death. The Major Crimes Unit did take over the investigation. No additional details have been released. The woman's identity has also not been disclosed. Well, the Junior League of Pensacola is helping parents with one of the biggest expenses of having a newborn. They're holding a free diaper bank giveaway on Saturday, December 7th. Parents can stop by 2016 West Garden Street between 1 and 3 p.m. to pick up 50 diapers and wipes. With inflation and rising tariffs driving up costs, the giveaway comes at a good time for families. The average parent spends over $900 on disposable diapers in the first year alone. Now, three Florida theme parks are being accused of discriminating against the disabled. The U.S. Justice Department said yesterday that it's investigating United Parks and Resorts for violating the Americans with Disabilities Act. United Parks and Resorts owns SeaWorld Orlando, Aquatica Orlando, and Busch Gardens Tampa Bay, which are all now under investigation. The DOJ says it got complaints the parks are banning rolling walkers known as rollators. A DOJ official says it's committed to upholding federal civil rights, so no guest is ever denied access or charged more because of a disability. Now, tourism officials celebrating record-breaking numbers. Visit Florida releasing its 2024 economic and fiscal impact of tourism study. It shows Florida welcomed a record 143 million visitors. Also, tourists generated an economic impact of over $133.5 billion. Governor Ron DeSantis said yesterday that Florida remains the top destination for travelers because we prioritize freedom and safety. It's 534 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be seeing some beautiful weather today with a nice breeze out of the north, high near 71 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 42. Your Thanksgiving forecast looking lovely and sunny. We'll have a nice breeze with temperatures around 63 degrees for your high. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 38 degrees. Going into your Black Friday, nice sunny skies with a high near 60 degrees. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 45. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 65, we've got cloudy skies. Our next news at 6 and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Shares of NVIDIA fell 3% after a report that Meta, one of NVIDIA's key customers, could strike a deal with Google to use its processing units for its data centers. NVIDIA responded in a statement saying it is a generation ahead of the industry. Analysts say NVIDIA has more than 90% of the market for AI chips with its graphics processors. Uber users in Abu Dhabi can ride in a fully driverless WeRide robo-taxi starting today. Uber and the China-based company first announced plans to bring the technology to the United Arab Emirates last September. Uber has bet big on autonomous vehicle technology, partnering with Google's Waymo and electric vehicle maker Lucid. Alphabet is on track to hit a historic $4 trillion market valuation, powered by an impressive year-long rally fueled by the Google parent's sharpened focus on artificial intelligence tools. Shares of the company were up 4.1% at $331.70 in pre-market trading, putting the company on course to breach the key milestone at the open. Futures are slightly higher. That's Your Money Now.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction today at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
ADX Communications isn't just a company name. It's a home to four great radio stations and the area's most robust digital platform. And we're proud of the successes our local business partners have had, trusting our years of marketing experience.
This is Philip Warren with the law firm Taylor Warren Widener Hancock & Barnes. When we need to get a message out to our community, we rely on our friends at ADX Communications. They are clear, reliable, and effective.
Hey, I'm Jonathan Cook, owner of Jonathan's Construction and Flooring. I enjoy working with the great team with this radio station. Dependable, local, professional, result-driven ADX Communications.
To have your business become part of our success story, no matter if it's Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, Pensacola's Playlist 94.5, or the area's most robust digital platform, call us today. 850-262-6000. That's 850-262-6000. And let ADX go to work for you.
If you have an HD radio in your car, you can listen to News Radio 92.3 from Fort Walton Beach all the way to the Mississippi line.
You heard me right. Here's how.
Tune to 98.7, wait a few seconds until you see the HD signal displayed, then turn the radio up two clicks to HD3. Then you can listen to Andrew McKay, Pet Talk with Meg, Marpia Van Camp and Robbins, and Petscola right now, all over the Gulf Coast.
It's News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see?
And these people that you're seeing here on this chart, they are pushing this in your community. These are the ones that will allow fentanyl-laced product to go out in your community. There is not one person here that is not affected by fentanyl. I don't care who you are. You have family. You have loved ones. Fentanyl is atrocious. It has no care who it kills, nor do these folks. They don't care. Understand that. They do not care who they kill in your community. This state has been attacked by fentanyl drug dealers, but there is hope.
That's Mark Glass. He is the commissioner for FDLE, Florida Division of Law Enforcement, and he was here in town yesterday doing a press conference with our sheriff, Chip Simmons, who's here in studio with me, and they also had Chris Williams, who was the special agent in charge of this operation, what they're calling Operation Nottingham. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing well. So 14 pounds of fentanyl, is that right? Or fentanyl, everybody seems to get upset when I say fentanyl, so fair enough.
I call it fentanyl.
Yeah, there you go.
Fentanyl.
And this is, for people who do not know, because we kind of presume that people do know, this is just the super drug. This is the teeny tiny amounts give you a ridiculously potent experience that is also killing people, that people get addicted to, that apparently they're seeking out. But you tell me, what's the truth about this drug that you called the most dangerous drug you've ever seen in your, 40 years of law enforcement or so?
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of leaning into my 41 years of experience now.
Yeah.
Because I can.
Yeah.
No, you mentioned that fentanyl is the most dangerous. It's the super drug. You know what? It's the super drug today. I read things all the time about the next round, this horse tranquilizer, xylazine or whatever.
Oh, is that what that one is? Okay, that came up yesterday. I didn't know what that is. Okay.
Yeah, it's this super, again, it's horse tranquilizer. So today's super drug is fentanyl, and fentanyl is just everywhere, right? But I just want to make sure that people understand that it's fentanyl until it's something else. Mm-hmm. And it was heroin, and then it was cocaine, it was crack cocaine. Then it was methamphetamine, then it's fentanyl, and now who knows where we're going to go. But fentanyl right now is the target. Fentanyl is the highest priority for the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, and obviously it's a high priority for the governor, and he has pushed the Florida Department of Law Enforcement to get into more fentanyl investigations as well, to include what they call a SAFE grant or it's a grant that provides funding for local agencies to help work on fentanyl investigations. Typically, we work together, but sometimes they are individual investigations that the agency would work. So we're taking advantage of that. If you're going to give us money to pay overtime for deputies to work more fentanyl cases, then we're certainly going to do that. But
spend time to build up through the structure of the distribution network, so you can actually get the people in charge instead of just the dealers, right? I mean, that's part of this too.
Well, I mean, I talk a lot about a multi-pronged approach, and this is kind of symbolic of that. We have our uniformed deputies going and they make traffic stops and they make many good arrests. You've seen us over the last couple of weeks, really, and making tremendous strides with regards to fentanyl investigations. But some of those investigations take a long time. This started in April. And we have been working on it with FDLE and with our other partners here for 6 or so months now. In the meantime, I've been talking about other cases, other investigations, and this one obviously came to fruition. Where they arrest 15 people, and
there's seven more pending or whatever, and drugs and guns and money and cars and all the things, right?
All the things, yeah. You mentioned 14 pounds of fentanyl. Typically, we talk about kilos with regards to cocaine, mm-hmm. with regards to drugs, which is kind of weird to me.
Measuring
as a narcotics investigator was always, you got a kilo, you got a half kilo, a quarter kilo. But on marijuana, we did it in pounds. It was always a quarter pound or a pound of marijuana. It's just, or an ounce. It's just a weird.
Why the two systems, but
I'm
there
not sure
it is.
Why the systems, but typically in fentanyl In fact, if you recall, last week we seized almost 5 kilos, almost 5,000 grams of fentanyl, the fentanyl mixture.
Mm-hmm.
And we refer to it as the kilos,
yeah,
instead of the pounds. We could have said, 10 pounds or so.
Are people, again, I know so little, only from talking to you guys, basically. Do people go buy fentanyl? Are they asking their drug dealer to give them fentanyl, or are they asking for cocaine laced with it? Or, I mean, I know sometimes it's put in there and they don't know about it, but
right,
are users, the ordinary person who's trying to get that next whatever high, are they deliberately purchasing things that have fentanyl in them?
Many of them are, yes.
Okay. So they know this. They know the danger, and right, they don't care.
That's correct.
Okay.
But a lot of them are looking for that high. They're looking for that, what they call the ultimate high. And,
okay,
and unfortunately, what that ultimate high is, sometimes it means that they need to be revived.
Get Narcan or whatever, yeah.
So they'll survive the ordeal.
This may seem like a weird question, but it occurs to me. You did undercover work. You worked narcotics for years. Part of that at the lowest level is making buys. But we know fentanyl's, deadly dangerous, so much so that you guys wear gloves and, people have had adverse reactions. Can you even do something like a buy for fentanyl is that even something you're able to do safely?
You can. Typically, when they're selling it, they're also careful because they understand. They can't sell stuff if they're always laid out in the ground.
Yeah.
So what they do when they sell typically is they'll be a little cautious where they'll put in a pill and the pills will be in we seized a couple of presses. And in fact, in this investigation, I think they may have had some presses.
Pill presses to make
some
the
pill
pills.
Presses or
yeah,
bar presses. And so that they can, and they'll break them up, but they'll do so with, you noticed on one of my little videos we did, I had gloves on, but they had masks and they had, gloves, mm-hmm, and they had different things to protect them from that as well. But it is different. And it's something that we have, even if we don't buy, if we have an informant buy, it is something that we give them specific instructions about. And then when we process evidence, we talk a lot about how much fentanyl we've seized over the last 6 months or so. And again, what you're not seeing is how careful we are with regards to the fentanyl. And we have Narcan as well, just in case something terrible happens to one of our deputies.
We know a lot of people die from fentanyl use. The numbers are like 100,000, 80,000 a year. It's ridiculous, the opioid deaths in this country, although they have come down a little bit the last couple of years, but they were peaking at like 100,000 a year. Twice as many people as died in the entire Vietnam War per year. Twice the population of Pensacola. Like, it's an insane thing to consider. They're killing people, but as a business, that's not usually good business, right? You kill off your users, that ends your, right? So do they just take that as a cost of doing business? Are they trying to kill people? Like, from the mindset of the drug dealer, you've got a product that is killing your client base. What is their strategy here?
Well, I think it's all over the map. I think that there have been people, I've heard, there are people that quite frankly don't care if people overdose. They don't care if an individual dies, because that spreads the word. That must be good stuff.
It must be potent.
That's strong stuff. That's okay. Stuff that we need. And you do have people, unfortunately, some of these people are looking for, again, we talked about that ultimate high. And I think that too often can result in that ultimate low, which is death.
Yeah.
I think that those are, this is all over the map. This is not, as I understand it, something that, like in the 70s and 80s, they would get you hooked, and then you keep coming back.
Come back for more progressively, right.
But now, again, the mindset is you can paint this. It's a marketing deal. You can paint it any way you want to. And like I mentioned before, they just don't care.
Wow.
That's why we really started to address these cases about if someone dies based on something you sold them, then we're looking at you for the homicide. Again, that's long and it's difficult. Sometimes you got to get toxicology reports. You have to, isolate where they got it from. And if is that the only place they got it from? Did they mix it with something else? A lot of times an individual toxicology report comes back with a multitude of mm-hmm. drugs in their system. But it is something that we look at. It's something that we certainly will investigate.
If somebody is, we sometimes talk about identifying friends and family members who might be using drugs or might be problems. We typically think about this a lot for parents with their kids, right? Signs and markers that they might be, getting high or getting drunk or using other kinds of drugs. Is there anything specifically that people should look for to have an indication that it is, something related to fentanyl that their kids might be using or that their friends or relatives might be using?
Well, I think the first thing you look for, and this has been the consistent for decades now is a shift in their behavior. Are they not happy as they used to be? Or they carry a lot of money but they don't have a job? Are they hanging out with a group of friends that you're not accustomed to? Are they leaving for hours at a time and not coming back overnight? It's something that's different. And with regards to methamphetamines, is their health deteriorating? Something fierce. I think that these are some of the things, the warning signs. And didn't have that conversation with your children. I think that depends on how well they are, obviously. But just watch their behavior and make sure that they understand how dangerous these things can be.
On another subject, you managed to pull a white Honda Civic out of the water over by Bluff Springs Road near the Escambia River.
We certainly assisted in pulling it out. Yeah, a person gets out of his car, puts it in neutral instead of park, and the car drifts. I can only imagine I wasn't there.
Yeah.
No video, but you can see it drift down into water and then it's ultimately in the river.
Okay. Or the water.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was underwater, completely underwater. So we have to get this car out, right? And so fire and rescue gets there. We work with them all the time, especially in the north end. And then we had to get a dive team out there. Our dive team goes out there and hooks up it works with a wrecker, mm-hmm. hooks up the chain to the car and pulls it out safely. Fortunately, no one got hurt. You know, our dive team, just briefly, they do a lot of this kind of stuff. They're always diving in. I say always. They're probably 15 times a year,
yeah, you know,
or so. And every time we say, someone may have thrown a weapon into this pond or this retention pond. Some of these places aren't. You know, this sounds like a great place to go swimming in.
Yeah.
But some of these places are not. Some
yeah.
of filthy, dirty swamps, and you know, sometimes the water's murky.
Right.
It's
right.
Bays or. Rivers, it's
more so as soon as they get in to try to look for stuff because the fins are going to kick up the muck, right?
You yeah, know? And it's not always warm.
Yeah.
Right? And it's not always good, you know, fancy stuff. It's not always the glamorous stuff. If you recall a couple years ago, unfortunately, we had to retrieve a young boy who drowned in a pond up in the north end. So it you know, that goes off to them. They do a great job, and you can't just do it whenever you get called out. You have to train.
Yeah,
heavily, right?
There was a training last week, right, around the Pensacola Ferry.
Yeah, they don't always tell me where they train. They just do their thing, right? Yeah, and they do it in a professional manner. Now I will tell you a brief little. When I was a police chief, we had a dive team as well. We didn't have as many call outs because the geographic area in the city of Pensacola is a lot smaller than it is in Escambia County. And I was proud of myself at the time. I contacted the sheriff's office, said, "Hey, you guys do a lot more. Let me give you all of our tanks and masks and such. And then if we need to, we'll call y'all." And they went for it. And we were able to do that. So now we have.
So you did one of these one time?
Yeah, we had a dive team at one point.
Chip Simmons did a dive.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, let's not get carried away. I've been on a boat several times. But I'll stay.
Slept at Holiday Inn Express, but you don't do legal advice.
That water's
right?
Cold. You're doing all that. There's sharks down there.
We had Manna did the Fill the Mayflower on Friday. You came, you gave, right? Always a part of this. Big deal. Your deputies, this is the part of the job that people don't talk about very much, but you know, you guys see hungry kids. You guys see fighting parents. You guys see neglected kids. You see all of this stuff, right? You see families that are homeless. You see it all. Your deputies see it all.
It is a unique perspective, that of a law enforcement officer. You see things that, well, it may not be criminal. You it's hard to lose that from your mind when you wonder, you know, are those children hungry? Are they being cared for? They may not be abused, physically abused, but you wonder, how are they going to go to school? How are they going to learn? How are they going to concentrate on this and that if they may be hungry? So it is that unique perspective. And now we have a relationship with our school resource officers. And if we know of students that may be hungry, then Manna has a conduit to where we can get food to those children or to those families.
Yeah.
And so that's, we do a lot of great things, quite honestly, in law enforcement. And is there a greater thing than feeding a hungry child,
man,
you know, that you're aware of? I think these are very good things. And you know, reach out in a a salute to MANA
yeah.
for what they do. I was on the board for a couple of years and was able to sit in on some of their interviews with people, with families. They don't just give food. They work with you on nutrition. They work with you on ways to get out of this.
That's what Didi would always say. It's always nutritional food. It's not just about putting stuff in the belly, right?
They say, thank you. Thank you so much for this, but we sure could use this peanut butter, whatever it's going to be. Yeah. And they can always use money. So, last Friday, we were able to get out there at 6 o'clock in the morning. Weather was great, actually. And 6 o'clock in the morning in a late November could certainly be cold.
Right.
And it has been.
It many times. It still, the Mayflower is a cold event. Right, yeah.
I went to see people drive up and with a big smile on their face and knowing that they're doing something, you mm-hmm. know, they're in the food is staying in our region and in our area. You know, we're not shipping out down to Tallahassee or something. The food that was in the bags that I brought, is going to end up on a table somewhere here in Escambia County, and that makes you feel a little bit better.
You know, that's actually it's a savvy way to think about it. And even as many years as we've been doing this, I never thought about it quite that way. That, you know, this can is going to wind up in somebody's hands on their kitchen countertop, and they're going to be turning that into a meal. Not obviously. You don't maybe think all the way through to that end result that, you know, you bring in this rice or you bring in this peanut butter, and, you know, that's a kid on the other end of that 3 weeks from now or a month from now that's actually going to be eating that. And it's,
we talk a lot about the butterfly effect, where you do this little piece here, and ultimately, where is this going to end up? It's going to end up on someone's table as part of a casserole or whatever. Yep. And that full belly could help that kid, test scores a little better, SAT scores,
right.
SAT scores. And maybe they can get to a college. You know, just the little things that
maybe
matter.
They sit better through class and don't get a disciplinary because they were
maybe
fed.
It's a job interview
that they don't miss
now because of all that. So, and they become a doctor. You know, all this the chaos theory,
right,
the butterfly
right.
effect. I think those are things that, as you mentioned, we don't always think about. But if we put it in the
those
lowest
terms,
levels,
yeah.
maybe it is. Let's just do enough good so that ultimately something really big can come of it.
Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, sir, thank you for what you do for the community. Thanks for spending some time with us every week. I appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Absolutely. 5:55 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Ben Scola Morning News. And, you know, hey, if you need to get that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an outstanding selection of good quality used cars. Cars that are a year to 3 years young, 4 years maybe. You know, you're going to be the second owner, possibly the third, 10 to maybe 50,000 miles. And they're going to warranty every car to 10 years or 100,000 miles because they only sell good quality cars. And they're, you know, honestly, they're just trying to help. Everything they do is built around the idea of helping you have good quality cars so that you want to come back again, not so that you have that kind of, you know, icky feeling when you leave a used car place a lot of times. You don't ever want to come back again. Frontier is like, we want to treat people so well, like their friends, like their family, so that they want to come back again and again and again. And so think of them that way. Think of them as your, you know, advisor or ally instead of your adversary. Don't go in there with the defenses all up, like you're ready for a fight. Go in there and think, you know, hey, you guys are here to help me. Andrew says so. And they can help find you that next car or just give you information if you're not quite yet in the purchasing mind. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
It's the final game of the regular season this Saturday as Florida State travels to Gainesville for a matchup with the Florida Gators on the Seminole Sports Network, presented by Wolfson Children's Hospital.
It's the final game of the season for FSU. After a loss last week to North Carolina State, the Seminoles are going to take on the Gators this Saturday with the kickoff set for 3:30.
FSU versus Florida State, right here on News Radio 92.3.
Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli, where you can meet up and wine all you want. Costello's has all your barbecue needs ready for pickup, from Wagyu tomahawks, Wagyu chuck steaks, to quarter-pound colossal Wagyu hot dogs, briskets, pork butts, and so much more. At Costello's, you'll find all the best boarhead sandwich meats and cheeses, plus everything ready from charcuterie boards to chicken salad and the best dessert pies, all at Costello's Butcher Shop, Deli, Fine Wine, and Cheeses. Find them today on the corner of Lillian Highway and Fairfield Drive in Pensacola.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College, for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk, mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News
Radio 92.3. see, it's seamless. It's like perfect producing. It's exactly what that is. 5:59 on News Radio 92.3. You know, this is actually kind of interesting. Largest city in the world is no longer Tokyo.
Where
is it? Jakarta. Indonesia is the largest city in the world. 37 million, I think.
You're kidding.
No. Indonesia. Yeah. It's kind of wild.